Good evening, morning, night, whatever time it may be for you, everyone. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com, live on tape delay from Charleston, South Carolina, for the last time this week following Purdue's trip to the Charleston Classic here in Charleston, obviously. As you know by now, number 23 Purdue fell to number 16 Virginia Tech, 89-83 in the championship game of this event. And we're headed home tomorrow, but in the meantime, before getting a couple hours of sleep here, just wanted to obviously cut this quick Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. And it's brought to you, obviously, again, by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. The big takeaway for me from Purdue's trip to Charleston is that Purdue's pretty good, or at least has a chance to be pretty good. I think it played pretty well down here, and I think consistency obviously is going to be something they have to prove over time, but I think they showed enough early in the season to kind of look like a team that's maybe a little bit advanced in terms of what you might have expected considering everything that's new about this team. Again, we keep saying the same things. I keep saying the same things. There's a lot of new pieces on this team. There's a lot of older pieces playing new roles or expanded roles, and there's one gigantic piece in Carson Edwards for which everything around him has changed, and thus his role is different as well. So this has always kind of struck me as a team for which there was going to be some process involved, where it was going to take them some time maybe to get up to their best version of their best, if that makes any sense. And it looks like they're ahead of the game, personally, at least in terms of that way of looking at things, because Purdue played really well, I thought, in Charleston, and the Charleston Classic in general, when you take into account the Ball State game in Mackey Arena, which was technically part of this, even though it wasn't played in Charleston. I think, above all else, maybe the thing that was the best news for Purdue, and Purdue might have expected it, so it might not be news to them, but it's something they proved themselves and everybody else this week, was the effort. The effort, I thought, was really good. I think anybody who watched the games would probably tend to agree. Purdue played really hard. That was reflected in the best of their defense that they played down here, as well as obviously the surprising rebound numbers. Purdue came into this season as kind of a question mark as a rebounding team, just because they were so unproven and so different, but Purdue's been really, really good on the glass, especially the offensive glass, and that inevitably speaks to effort. The effort across the board for Purdue has been really good, and that's part of the next thing I have earmarked here to talk about, is just identity. I think you're seeing Purdue take on kind of a traditional Purdue identity, where the effort is good, the defense is good, and the rebounding is good. There's a certain toughness that seems to be brewing in this team. There's a certain energy level that I think is inherent in this team, and there's an effort level that's really coming out and really looks like something that could define this team. I've said from day one with this team that I think fans might come to really like this group, because I think there's a couple guys naturally wired to give pretty good effort. I think there's some charismatic, energetic guys in this team, and it just seems like the sort of team that Purdue fans could respond really well to, or will respond really well to, for those reasons. Purdue fans more than most appreciate that kind of stuff in basketball teams, and I think this team in the early stages of this season is really showing a lot of that stuff. And I think that this will be a team fans really, really like in time. If they saw them play down here in Charleston, as a lot of them did, Purdue always travels really well to these things, I think they saw a product on the floor they can certainly appreciate. Depth, I wouldn't call Purdue a deep team, but I wouldn't call them a thin team at this point entirely either. I think that the two guys who kind of hold Purdue's depth in their hands, so to speak, are redshirt freshmen Aaron Wheeler and Sasha Stefanovic. I say that because the two other guys who come off the bench who are going to play prominent roles are guaranteed roles. Evan Boudreau is going to play, and the way he has played so far, obviously he deserves to play. But he's the backup center. He's going to play big minutes there. Eric Hunter is going to play because of Purdue's numbers in the backcourt. They need him logging relatively significant minutes in the backcourt simply because of the numbers game involved. But the two wild cards have always sort of been Aaron Wheeler and Sasa Stefanovic. Just didn't know where they were in their developments to this point, whether they would be ready to play pretty important roles for this team. Charleston showed two players who were at the very least trending very well. I think Wheeler and Stefanovic both did some very positive things, sometimes in very important situations too against Virginia Tech. And that speaks to a couple of guys who should also get better as things kind of move forward here. And if this is their starting point, I think they have a real chance to really help Purdue this year. And that could take Purdue from being a seven-man rotation to as many as nine. And so I think that's another one of the many positive early signs for this team. There's a lot of individual to kind of make note of here. Obviously, Carson Edwards is what Carson Edwards is. He's an outstanding, borderline elite player in college basketball, and he's backing that up so far. I know there were some turnover issues. I know there were some over-aggressiveness at times, maybe against Virginia Tech. That's just kind of the cost of doing business for a player that aggressive, but I think by and large he's having a great season early on. I think, though, that Nojel Eastern has really gone from a guy who was a bit player last year in a minimal role to really, really being an impactful player without being a particularly proficient, might not be the right word, but not being a scorer per se. He is, the last couple games, and it's obviously very early in the season, but he has been as influential a defensive player maybe as Matt Painter's had at Purdue, and that includes Chris Kramer, that includes all sorts of guys. Rafael Davis obviously was a game changer. I'm not talking about shot blockers. Let's just kind of draw a delineation between the two: perimeter defenders and shot blockers. In the area of perimeter defenders, Nojel Eastern, I think the last couple games, has been right there at the same level as like a Chris Kramer and a Rafael Davis and a Dakota Mathias to a certain extent. Just an outstanding defensive player thus far this season. Purdue's tone setter defensively and an absolutely critical player. And I think if Nojel Eastern doesn't run into foul trouble in the second half against Virginia Tech, Purdue might have won this game and won this event because of it. But also his efforts as a rebounder too have really been a big part of that identity I talked about before, built around kind of defense and rebounding. So he certainly bears mention. I think Ryan Klein is having a really good season, and will only get better as he continues to sort of acclimate to this new expanded role. I think Matt Harms did enough prior to the Virginia Tech game to show that he's really a player trending upward into kind of standout status for Purdue. The Virginia Tech game was a rough one for him. I think the athleticism, the strength of Virginia Tech's front line sort of was a lot for him to handle. Evan Boudreau played so well too that he sort of took something of a backup role to Evan Boudreau too. But I think prior to tonight, Matt Harms had done enough at both ends of the floor to really look like a player who's sort of coming into his own as, you know, a borderline standout player as a sophomore. So Evan Boudreau, as I just mentioned in relation to Harms, obviously the most impactful of the newcomers thus far. Stands to reason to suggest that's probably going to be the case all season long. He's just outworking people, and that's what Purdue knew it was getting in him, a guy who played really hard, but how that effort would translate into productivity right away, you didn't really know. But he's just beating everyone to the offensive glass right now. He's been an absolute revelation as a rebounder, and that's in conjunction with Nojel Eastern, in conjunction with Grady Eifert, has really made Purdue a much better rebounding team than I think anybody could have thought sort of coming into the season just because of all they lost. So an awful lot of positive for Purdue down here in Charleston. I know they would have liked to have won the title. They came pretty close, but it came down to the second half. A bunch of little things added up to a bunch of big things. Some missed layups, some calls that could have gone either way, some calls that should have gone in Purdue's favor that just didn't. Nojel Eastern's foul trouble. One, two, three, four things here and there go a little bit differently. Little things. You know, Purdue probably is coming home with the Charleston Classic Championship, but that was not to be. So Purdue will be much better off for having played this game, because this is, was an NCAA tournament type of game against an NCAA tournament team. A team that could, for all we know, turn out to be one of the better teams in all of college basketball this year. I think they're pretty good, and they're shorthanded right now. When they get some players back, they're going to be even better. But just a good experience for Purdue that'll make it better down the line, going into a very difficult non-conference schedule, and a really good showing by Purdue in this Charleston Classic that gives the look of a team that's trending upward, moving into a, you know, a pretty important season here. So that's pretty much what I have to say from the Virginia Tech game and the Charleston Classic as a whole. So we'll wrap this up by thanking our sponsors once again: Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charter's Team Remaxability Plus. So we appreciate you listening and hope everybody has a good week ahead. Thank you.